Good evening.
Good evening.
Oh, hallelujah. You're a good-looking crowd tonight, amen?
Amen.
I'm so pleased, fortunate, blessed to be able to be in the house of the Lord with each and every one of you tonight. I feel your love for the Lord. I feel your excitement in Jesus. I appreciate your songs, your testimony, your presence, your prayers. All of that's what it takes to make a church. Amen?
Amen.
And just think, Jesus is the one that's building it. He's working on you. He's working on me. And He knows exactly how to do it. He can build us according to the perfect measure, the stature. You and I are coming into the stature of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's exciting, knowing that it's not what according to our knowledge or our own ability in ourselves, but it's according to the knowledge of the Spirit of God who reads your heart, who reads my heart, and it's according to the power that's working inside of us. Think about it. Life, Jesus is life, is working inside of us tonight. Amen? Death used to be, but now life is. Oh, we're a blessed group of people. If you would, open up your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to talk tonight about godly goals. Godly goals. You and I, we're to be conformed to Christ. Amen? That's the mold, the pattern that we're looking for. And as we start this new year, we need to remind ourselves exactly what the number one goal of every Christian is. You know, Don and I were talking about this the other night, and there's no right or wrong answer, but this was what was on my heart at that moment of time when I asked Don. I said, what do you think the number one goal of the Christian should be? And you know, we're going to look at that tonight. We're going to talk about that. You and I, our number one goal is to be conformed to the image of Christ. We're to be a part of His many-membered body, but we're to be, by the Spirit and the Word working in our lives, to look like Jesus, to do what Jesus done, amen, and to do it in His power and by His placing that desire in our lives above all other things. And so that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about how we can be conformed to the image of Christ. Because God, He doesn't give us a command to do something without giving us the instruction of how to allow that to be prevalent in our lives. How to come to pass. Romans chapter 8. I want to read to get who we're talking to. First of all, let's read verses 14, 15, and 16. And then let's drop down to verse 29. Our main verse is verse 29. But to get who we're talking to, Romans chapter 8, verse 14, could there say amen?
Amen.
The Word of God says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons or the children of God. Say, that's me.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself, better translated, Himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are, hallelujah, the children of God. Now drop down to verse 29. Since we're the children of God, here's what the Word says. Romans 8:29. For whom He, God, did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed. Now highlight that in your mind's eye, underline it in your Bible. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the reality that by Your Spirit that You draw us. By Your Spirit, You showed us in our sinful condition, and then You showed us the answer to our sin, Jesus Christ. And You allowed Your very Son to shed His blood that our sin might be not just covered over as the animal sacrifices in the Old Testament, but washed away. And we thank You that we've been bought with a price. We've been ransomed by the Son of the living God. And we thank You that You have a call on our life, that from the foundation of the world, You have called us into Your family. And You've ordained us to be conformed, transformed, to be changed into the image of Your Son. And it happens by Your Spirit in the Word, being ministered, being manifested, being sown in our lives. Father, we ask tonight that You touch us and You open up our eyes of understanding and help us to receive the reality by the Word of who we are because of Jesus and what we can do by Your Spirit as the Word takes precedent in our life. We ask this, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, and we all say, amen and amen. Hallelujah. You know, tonight, you and I, no doubt, as we start this new year, we thought about different things that we'd like to change in our life. I dare say that there's none of us that we're fully satisfied where we're at in our life, whether it be in the natural, the physical, the emotional, or even especially the spiritual. Amen? Because we're just, it's inside of us to always want to grow, always move forward in all areas of our life, because that's just what God Almighty has placed in us. And so, as we look at the spiritual tonight and we get to thinking about the reality that God's Spirit really does abide in us, and God's Spirit really has brought life unto us, and that same Spirit teaches us and reveals truth to us, and then brings us to the reality that we're to be changed. Amen. And our number one goal in our life is to be like Jesus. Everything about our lives, it's not in what we used to know or what we used to desire or what used to be number one and prominent in our life. Now it's about Jesus Christ. And it's about the reality that, just think about it, from the beginning of time, God Almighty, He had it in His plan for you and I, it says there in verse 29, to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's God's desire. That's His number one plan for you. In other words, He made you and He made me. And even though He knew that we would fall short, because the Bible said, while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. But while I was yet a sinner, that God drew me with the cords of love. Amen. The same way with you tonight. But even Him knowing all of these things, it was determined beforehand for you and I to have an opportunity, if we would yield to the Spirit of God, receive the Word of God, to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Amen? That's what this Word is telling us. Now let's talk about that just for a minute, because this word conformed, it's from a Greek word, metamorpho, which is where we get our English word metamorphosis. It's a process. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to look at some things that brings this to pass in your life and my life. And we've got to realize that it's a process. You are, as we always say, to keep us grounded and keep us in a place where we won't be discouraged, you are, I am, a work in progress. Amen? And a progress means something that's always going forward, and we're not satisfied, and that's a good thing, because if we were satisfied, we wouldn't do the things that were necessary to move forward. Amen? So this is a process. So I want you to think about this tonight. When we look at this word, I'm going to reread verse 29 and then we'll move on. But look, he says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now I want you to get that in your heart, that in the book of Hebrews, as well as the second witness, you and I, we're brothers and sisters to the Lord. Think about that. God calls us, Jesus Himself says that we're brethren with Him. That's what He thinks about you tonight, amen? And He made that possible by His sacrifice. So let's look. If I'm supposed to be conformed, because in my life, as I look in my life and I see things that's not Christ-like. I see things that's not under the control of the Lord as they should be. And I see things that need to be tweaked and peaked and need to be edified, encouraged, and built up. So I need to know how I can be conformed to the image of God. So let's go to the book of 2 Corinthians. And let's allow the Word of God to give us instruction tonight and to build us up. Now, in this third chapter of 2 Corinthians, and we won't have to take time to look at it, you know the story very well. It talks about Moses, and it talks about how the children of Israel, they couldn't receive the Word that Moses got when he was in God's presence. He was on that mountain with God, and he was there. You know, remember we talked about a couple weeks ago, his face shined from being in the presence of God. And they couldn't look on Him. So Moses, had to have the veil on him. But that was a type to teach us that without Jesus, you and I, we can't understand the Word. Amen? We can't understand God's plan and God's desire for our lives. But now, you and I, we have the Spirit. We have the Holy Ghost. And that Holy Spirit teaches us to how to be conformed to Jesus. And so, with that being said, drop down and look at verse 18, the last verse in 2 Corinthians 3, and let's see what the Word says. But he says, but we all, now who is he talking to? He's talking to Christians, amen? But we all, with an open face, Think about this now. That means you and I, we don't have to be veiled. We don't have to hide our face from God because, come on, the blood of Jesus makes you right before God. Come on, you can come boldly to the throne of grace. God's not mad at you. He's not angry with you. He's wanting to pull you into His arms with the cords of the love of God. Amen? He said, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same thing from the glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, when we read this, we see that there's possibility of change, and we see that it's a process because He said it happened from glory to glory. In other words, as you see God and as I see God, see His Word by the Spirit of God, each time we look into that Word, each time we receive that Word, all of a sudden we're changed. Every time that you sit under Brother Dennis's teaching and you hear that Word, every time that you're at home and you meditate upon the Word, you open up that Word, you pray and God talks to you, there's a process that's happening in your life. You're being changed. That Word is taking root down in your heart. And that Word is starting to produce a fruit. It's starting to produce what God knows that you need more than you and I even understand. Amen? All right, now let's think about this just for a minute. He said, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed. Now that's what we've got to see. We've got to recognize that I can't stay the same. I can't do the same things I did yesterday and expect to be more God-like today. Amen? I can't think the same way. I can't talk the same way. So what I've got to be in is in a place where I'm willing to let God tweak me and peak me. Allow God to say, hey, let's change this thought. Amen? And if I change that thought, it's going to change my speech. Amen? If it changes my speech, it's going to change my action. Because all of that works hand in hand together. And so, as I look into the Word, because that's what we're talking about tonight, looking into Jesus, as I look in there, all of a sudden, things start clearing up. You know, you can take binoculars. And if I handed Paul the binoculars and I had them set to my eyes, he could look in there. It wouldn't work. If they were adjusted for his eyes and I looked in there, they wouldn't work. You've got to fine-tune it, amen, to match your eyes. And that's what we do when we look into Jesus. And it might be that I would tell you something and you could look at it and you couldn't understand it. But then you go to the Lord in prayer and all of a sudden He fine-tunes those binoculars where you can say, ah, I get exactly what is being said. I understand how that's for me and I want to apply. Now let's look at some scriptures I think that will help us bring this point home. I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 17. Because when we're talking about being changed, we're talking about there's a process of how that works. And the way that works is in and by the Word of God. And we got to see Jesus as our example for everything. Now, I don't want you to miss the point of what's being said here because I know this is some prophecy and it's some things that's actually going to take place through history, if you understand what I'm saying. But I want you to concentrate on the thought of tonight. Look here at Matthew 17 and 1. It says, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and He bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. Now look at verse 2. And was what? Was transfigured before them, and His face did shine as the sun, and His raiment was white as the light. Now, all this time, they've been walking with Jesus, and they never saw Jesus in this manner. And so this is what you and I have got to see and understand. It's a process. It's a progression. You and I, as we go to church, as we pray, as we read, as we study, as we talk to God, we're going to start seeing Jesus in a higher level. And when we get in a place of intimacy with God and we go where God has us to go, in other words, we get alone with Him. That's what happened here to Peter, James, and John. And they got a place where they got to see Jesus transfigured. Now, why are we talking about this word transfigured? It's the same word. When it talks about us being changed, talks about us being conformed. It's the same word. It's the word that causes you and I to have hope that I don't have to stay the same way. I don't have to have all the limitations that Greg has. I don't have to be limited in my knowledge and my ability, my understanding, my desire. I can have God Almighty, amen, to work in my life, and He'll work in my life, and as He does, He's going to show me Jesus. And Jesus is going to change me because as I'm looking into Him, Jesus is light. And every time light shines, it changes everything about you and about me because we see things like we never saw before. We understand things like we never understood before. Amen? It's hard to do anything in the dark. How many has tried to work underneath a car trying to get the light at the right place? To get the wrench on the bolt or the nut or whatever, you got to be able to see what you're doing. Well, you and I, to be able to see how to be what God called us to be, we've got to have the light. And it's got to be shining in us and upon us. Now, I know when it's talking, this is talking here literally, that you and I, we have a hope that after 6 days, after 6,000 years, that we're going to be changed. Our sister talked about it. There's going to be a time, a sounding of the trumpet. We're going to put off this old and we're going to put on the new. And I understand that this is pointing to that prophetic point. But in the meantime, we can have it today. Because everything that's promised for us in heaven is for today. Because it talks about the heaven is just it's a pattern for you and I to live by, to receive by, to talk by, come on, to believe by today. And it's for us. So it says in one more time, verse 2, and was transfigured before them, and His face did shine as the sun. We've got to learn to look into the face of Jesus. That's the Word. And if we'll look into the face of Jesus, we're going to have... What does the sun do? It warms you. It causes you and I, if we don't get to get out in the sun, we're not healthy like we should be. We've got to be in the place. Well, all of those things is in the natural. How much more are they in the spiritual? We've got to be in a place and a position where we get alone with Jesus and we recognize that everybody didn't come here. Come on, Jesus is no respecter of persons, but only the ones who really wanted to be there were there. So there are going to be some that's going to choose not to come. You and I tonight, we've got to make up our mind like we talked about this morning. I want to be there. I want to be in the place, in the face of Jesus, and I want to receive what He'd have for me. Now let's go to the book of Ephesians and let's see what happens when we get along with the Lord and we allow His face to shine upon us, which is the Word, the truth. Ephesians chapter 4, He tells us what He's gave us. He's gave gift to us to perfect us and to grow us up. But for sake of time, look at verse 13. Ephesians 4:13. It says, this is what He wants for us. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, no gender intended, unto a perfect person, unto the measure of the what? The stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, I can't serve God the way God would have me to until I let Jesus grow me up. Until I let the Word come in. Remember, 1 Peter 2:2 says, for it commands you, the believer, to desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. Amen. The Word, it grows us up. It encourages us and it enables us to see what God has called us to do, what God wants us to do, and then we're able to walk in that reality. But He said that when we get saved, now He's talking to church people here. And look what He says. He said that till we all come into the unity of the faith. Well, the Bible says faith comes by
hearing
by the Word of God. So tonight, if I'm going to be in unity with God, if I'm going to be in unity with my brothers and sisters, I've got to see that it's a process. Come on, it's not perfect when we get saved. Because you and I were in imperfect vessels. But we're growing. It's growing. And He said that we would grow as we heard the Word. And He said that with the knowledge of the Son of God, that you could become the perfect, the complete person. The full stature. Now, you know what's exciting about this? This is not looking just to heaven. It's talking about every day. See, because when God looks at you today, He looks at where you've grown. He looks at where you've responded to the Word by the Spirit. And if you said yes to that Word, guess what? He considers you mature. He considers you full grown in today. He considers you complete in the day. And that means you can tell the devil, shut up, devil, today I've done what God told me to do. I heard God, I obeyed God, I yielded to God, and I am growing every day in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you do that, it stops the enemy from having an avenue, a vein to work in your life to hinder you, to discourage you. Amen? We're going somewhere. We're growing up in Jesus. Let's go to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. And let's look at another example about this. Luke chapter 2, I think it's down about verse 52. Yes, look at this. This is what it says about Jesus. Now, Jesus is our pattern, remember? The last verse of the chapter. Luke 2:52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, think about that. Jesus, He was born as a babe. You and I, when we are born in the natural, we're born as a babe. But when we're born in the spiritual, we're born as a babe. And so here, Jesus had to grow. Jesus is our pattern. So if Jesus had to grow and come into that place, we're talking about as the pattern for us, that's the way God called it forth, that's the way that God spoke it, designed it, then you and I, we've got to recognize and realize that I have to be in a place of being progressive growth. I have to see the process. And I don't get discouraged if it ain't just exactly perfect. Amen? I live my life according to the... God looks at my heart. God looks at your heart. And as long as our heart is to do what God wants, guess what? Every time it's going to get easier and you're going to get stronger and you're going to be able to do more and more. He said that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. And in favor with God and with man. Come on, God wants to give you so much favor that when you walk in a place, it's like Joseph. Come on, when Joseph walked in a room in Egypt, even though everything around him said he was bound, he was free. He was free and he changed situations and circumstances. He kept people from starving to death because he was in God's place. Come on, he was able to tell people exactly what they needed to do, prepare for the drought, for the time of the enemy. The enemy's coming, amen? But God is always ahead of the enemy, and you're His people, and you can hear from God ahead of time.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, let's go to Luke chapter 12. Let's look at this. Luke chapter 12, and verse 20. Luke 12:25. Jesus is teaching. Look what he says. He says, "And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit?" Now we're talking about growing up. We're talking about progression. But see, if you worry in yourself about what you can do or what you can't do, you can't change one thing. I can't change one thing. So why do we want to worry? Come on, he just told us if you take thought, that word take thought, it means to be anxious about. You don't have to be anxious. You know God through Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Come on, God knows you. And God has a word for you in every situation. So the thing that tries to make you anxious, you take it to God and you say, God, I can't change myself. I can't figure out what to do. I don't know exactly how I should act or what I should say, but I want you to grow me up. I want to look into the light. I want to look into the Son of the Living God. I want to read His eyes by your Spirit, and I want to be in a place where you cause me to stand strong in what I know today. Come on, everybody wants to do great things. Every one of us sitting here today, we'd raise our hand and say, I want to do great things for God. I want to raise the dead. Well, guess what? I'm not going to raise the dead until I can learn how to lay hands on somebody that's sick in faith. Amen? I got to start where I'm at and not let the devil keep me from moving forward, not saying someday I'll do this. I'm going to do what God called me to do today. What God's anointed me to today. Amen? All of these things, they work together. He said, which of you taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? You and I, we can't add nothing. We can't. So let's let God add to us. God said, I'm going to do it. Remember what's what we read in Ephesians 4:13? I'm going to add to it by my word. Let's go back to our text in 2 Corinthians, where we were reading chapter 3, verse 18. He said, but we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of God. Now, we've got to figure out what this glass is. Now, this glass, it means to look as you would look in a mirror. And as you look in the mirror, you have a reflection. And so I need to understand, if I'm going to look in and I'm going to see Jesus, because that's what it was talking about, because if you take the context of this verse about Moses being alone with God and about you and I being alone with God, that's the glass. That's the mirror. That's what we've got to look into. You can't look into the natural and let the natural tell you who you are. Tonight, the devil will use the natural to tell you all your faults, all your shortcomings, all your limitations. But when God looks at you, He doesn't look at you that way. And He wants you to believe Him more than you believe anything else. Amen? And He wants you to believe Him so much that if there is imperfection in your life, there is in mine, that His Word changes it. Amen? His Word changes it. Now let's go to the book of James. And let's see this as a second witness. The Epistle to James, chapter 1. James chapter 1, starting at verse 21, it says this: wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive, I'm reading this for the last part of the verse, receive with meekness the engrafted word. So we're talking about the word of God, which is able to save your soul. Verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So we see, talking about the word is there. And that when you and I, when we get alone with God, we get alone with Jesus, we're on that mountaintop, we're having that experience where that light is shining on us, and we can truly see who we are. And what God does, He shows you two pictures. He shows you where you are right now. And then He shows you where He's going to take you. Mm-hmm. See, the devil doesn't do that. The devil shows you everything that's ever been wrong in your life. Every hurt, every heartache, every mistake that you've ever made. And tells you that you're going to be in a pattern of history of repeating that. God didn't do that.
That's right.
God shows you. He shows you who you are because He loves us so much, He won't leave us where we're at.
That's right.
And then He shows us the picture with Jesus after Him coming in our life where He's going to take us.
Yes.
See, that's the glory. That's how you're changed. That's how I'm changed. That's how we're conformed from glory to glory. We look in that mirror and we go, oh my goodness, I can do what Jesus said I could do.
Yes.
I can be what He called me to be. I can have love and joy. I can have peace. I can have temperance. I can have all the things that God said is true in His Word because He gave it to me. Amen? I can look and I can see it. Because you and I will never have something if we can't see it. We've got to have a vision for it. We've got to believe it. And if we'll look into the Word of God, it'll show us exactly what He has for us. But see, this man here, he looked into it. Look what it said in verse 24. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. See, that's what the devil loves to do. When God shows us something about our life to bring us to a higher level, allow us to be changed, the enemy will try to steal that from you. Remember Mark 4, he's like the fowl of the air who steals the word out of the soul. That's what he wants to do. But you and I, we can't do that because we see that our walk in the Lord, it's a progression. It's proceeding forward, but it's our perception. We've got to perceive who we are by the Word. We've got to believe that God really has good things in store for us and we can be whatever God called us to be. You've got to have a desire for that. That's got to be the pushing thing in your life. And the great thing about it, it's not too late. Come on. We're still breathing. I mean, the devil's always trying to tell us it's too late. We've waited too long, or we've come too far down the wrong road. Everywhere I look in the Word of God, it doesn't matter how far down the road you was, Jesus was there beckoning, calling, empowering, and making possible for us to turn around.
Yes.
Oh, and go the way God called us to go.
Yes.
Come on, this is the new year. Let's have a new start. Let's see exactly what God would have for us. Amen? Let's see here. Let's go back to our text in 2 Corinthians. Let's reread verses 17 and 18. It says in verse 17, "Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." So it's progressive, and it's only by what? By pneuma, by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. You see, if you and I learn to depend upon the Holy Spirit, it said that where His Spirit was, there would be liberty in your life, in my life. Well, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit abides within you. So every time the devil starts trying to bring bondage upon you, upon me, all of a sudden if I look back into the face of Jesus and I go, wait a minute, Jesus died that I don't have to have this chain around my life. I don't have to carry this weight on my back. I don't have to be battled in my mind with all these things that the enemy's telling me, because I'm supposed to have liberty. I'm supposed to have freedom. It's mine. Jesus died and rose again to give it to me. And so I've got to let the Holy Spirit minister truth to me. Amen? And if I'll do that, now just a couple more verses and I'll let you go. But go to John chapter 16. Let's see out of the mouth of Jesus talking about the teaching power of the Holy Spirit. John 16, look at this. He says in verse 13, "Howbeit when He," talking about the Holy Spirit, "the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth." Now remember, we're talking about looking into the face of Jesus and beholding Jesus, and by doing that, being changed glory to glory. In other words, from encounter, from mountaintop experience with the Lord. And Jesus made a promise to me. He said, the Holy Spirit will. Not might, not maybe, not for some rich or some poor or some this, some that, but He will to the Christian.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Come on, none of us is left out.
Right.
Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you, glory be to God, things to come. Now, this word show, it means rehearse. In other words, you and I, we can close our eyes and we can look into the very throne of God by the reality of what the promise in Hebrews 4, come boldly to the throne of grace. And the Holy Spirit will rehearse things to you. He will show you what God has for you. And He'll show you who you really are. And as you look into that, all of a sudden, you start throwing off those things. See, if I listen to the devil in just a little bit, I'm so discouraged. I don't want to pray.
Sure.
I don't want to read the Bible. I sure don't want to go to church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Come on.
And I don't want to be around anybody who might be needing something from me, because I don't think I've got anything to give them.
Right.
But we do.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, that's all lies.
Yes.
So we got to get in a place and a position. This new year, our number one goal is to be conformed. Come on, into that image. To believe that you can be. Come on, you're God's many-membered body. You've got to believe that. And you've got to believe if anything's going to be done on this earth, it's going to be done by you. The anointing of the Spirit using you. You see, all God's looking for is somebody that's willing. Well, you're willing. You can be anywhere you want to be, but you're here tonight, amen? So you're willing. So that means you got to receive this and you got to tell God, God, here I am. I need some truth in this area of my life. Now come on, I want to talk plain with you, right? Just for a moment of time. There's some areas in people's lives tonight that are strongholds.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. their limitations. They're hindering you from being exactly what God called you to be, just like they are in my life. But if I'll get along with God, and if I'll just allow that light to shine in me, Jesus will show me the answer to what's hindering me, to what's limiting me. And He'll make me be in a place, in a position, where I'll step up strong. And I'll step out in faith. You'll step out in faith. And we'll do what God has called us to do. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Oh, the glory of the Lord calls us to see.
Yeah.
I want you to see how important tonight you are. Each one of you. You're so important to this church. But I don't want you just to limit it to this church. You're important to the body of Christ.
Amen.
You're so important that Christ died to put you in here. Now, I want you to believe that, because I want you to be in the place, in the position, where you think that somebody may die and go to hell tomorrow if you're not in your place.
That's right.
Come on, then. That's how serious we're talking about. Because you in your place, God's going to always put you between them and hell.
Mm-hmm.
Them and judgment.
Yeah.
When somebody needs a word, when they need something from God, He's going to use you to put it in their life. Amen? I'll close with this thought. Back in the middle 50s, there was some missionaries went to an island, and as they went to this island, they set up all of these places to clothe and to feed these people who were. They were hurting. They had a lot of lack in their life, and there was a Christian medical doctor went with them, and he wanted to be able to help the people who had different afflictions. And one of his specialties, he was not. He brought another gentleman with him, a doctor who was an eye doctor,
ophthalmologist.
Yes, and so they had other various type of doctors and specialties, and they were there to meet the needs of the people. But this one doctor, this eye doctor, I mean, he had a heart for God, and he had a heart for people. And so the first thing he did, he went looking for someone who needed to be able to see better. And he comes across this farmer who was way many miles, his home was many miles away from where they were at, inland. And this farmer, he could barely farm because he couldn't see. And so the eye doctor, he, in a very crude and setup, they were able to do surgery on this man. He had cataracts. And they took these cataracts off his eyes, and this man could see. I mean, he could see like he never been able to see in years, because this was truly affecting him. And at the same time, they ministered truth to him about who Jesus was, and about the reality of the cross, and the blood of Jesus, and all of these things. And this man, he received all of that. But he received it because, just like Jesus did, Jesus acts, and then he what? Then he brings the truth to us. Well, this man, he went back all over his homeland, because he was so excited that he could see. And he said, I'm going to tell the message of what you told me. Well, this eye doctor, optometrist or what, he didn't know if he'd ever see this man again. But one day, out of the corner of the eye, he sees something by the window. So he opens the blinds a little bit more and looks out the window, and he sees this man. And this man has got a long rope tied around his waist. And this rope's tied around his waist, and behind him is a whole long group of people that are holding on to that rope who can't see. They all had eye issues. See, he went because he was moved with compassion in the way that God touched him. And he wanted them to see what he had learned. Amen? Tonight, I want to see what you've learned. I want to see Jesus the way you see Him. Because I want to know everything that there is to know about Jesus. And the only way I can do that is I've got to learn from the people around me, but I also got to learn in my own intimate way. Amen? But as I do that, the full picture of who Jesus is. But there's blind people all around us tonight. There's people who are hurting, and they don't know which way to turn. They don't know which way to go. They're groping in the dark. But you and I, tonight, by the grace of God, we can see Jesus. And because we can see Jesus, and we're being changed, amen, this year, this new year, we need to go out and help people know that Jesus loves them. And He wants to touch them where they're at and bring them into the fold. Amen? Father, we thank You for Your goodness and Your grace. We thank You for Your mercy and Your love. I thank You, Father, for the precious Word. I thank You for the reality that You love us with an everlasting love, and that You have a plan for us to be conformed, that we can become more like You, and it is going to be progressive. It's not going to be instant. The finest things are the things that take the longest. The finest things are the things that take time and energy, effort and heat. Lord, we want You to put the heat of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we give You permission to work in us and through us in any way that You choose. Because we want to look in and we want to see who we are by thus saith the Lord. We want to be what You have called us to be. And as we start this year, help us to be changed. Let the things that have hindered us yesterday, let today be the day that they're put under the feet of the Master. Let the things that brought discouragement, hurt, and pain, let them forever be shed off. Let us cast off all the things of the old man and help us by the Spirit of God, looking into the face of Jesus, put on the things of the new. Let it be. Lord, let us step higher. Let there be encouragement come right now. We ask You, Father, in the name of Jesus. Would You come tonight? Would You make Yourself an altar and say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Last year, I had some issues. I had some struggles. I had some things that happened. And I didn't believe You on some things. But I choose to change this year. I choose to believe You above what I feel, what I see, what I understand in the natural. I choose to, by the Spirit of God, to allow the Holy Spirit to rehearse before my eyes the reality of what You have. Would You come? Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You for Your goodness and Your grace. Thank You for Your mercy and Your love. Thank You.
years ago, me and Donnie were in a lot of places we shouldn't have been. Doing a lot of things we shouldn't have been doing. But God, even then, knew what He had planned. And He's kept us to this day. And we're going to do some things in the name of Jesus. Together. See, the devil thinks he wins, but he lost 2,000 years ago.
That's right.
Amen? Oh, we serve a mighty good God. I want you to be so encouraged that God's talking to you, and He'll never stop talking to you.
Amen.
He'd rather be with you than anybody else. Come on, He sent Jesus to die and He had a relationship with you.
Amen.
And so, every time that you get alone with the Lord, I want you to know when you step out of that moment of time or that literal room, that you're leaving the old person behind and you're walking up in more of the new. Amen. You are. And as long as you just trust in the Lord and keep your eyes on Him, you're going to keep moving forward. You're going to be some bumps along the way, but God takes care of the bumps and the bruises because Jesus was bruised for my iniquities.
Amen?
Amen. He knows how to take care of it. So let's just keep going. And grab somebody by the hand and encourage them. There's people around us, they won't come to church because they made a mistake. Tell them that, just be honest with them. I mean, you can't talk to everybody, but because you're not supposed to. But there's certain people that God will put in your path. And if God gives you the option, tell them, hey, I wouldn't be in church either if it wasn't for God. Now, don't air your dirty laundry. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about there's a time when God will line things up. You don't know it. And you give them a word, and they can have faith to believe that if God helps you, come on, He's conforming you. You're conforming.
Yes.
Glory. Any other needs tonight before we change the order of service? Anybody? Anybody got a testimony?
Praise the glory of God. The days that Mary Evans, earlier in the week, Evans' sister and the whole family had started going to church last weekend, I think it was, down at the Round Rock Church.
Right, yeah.
And someone went to church, and they have two daughters that graduated high school that are still at home, and a son that's still at home that had dropped out of church. But anyway, the day they buried Evan, that evening, that whole family was just baptized. After it got healed, they had all turned their hearts to the Lord.
Thank
and
you.
They was all getting baptized.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
See, we don't understand why things happen, but God uses them. He does. He uses them. And that's a comfort to us to know that, you know, that God, He can change that horrendous situation. And He can make something out of it. That's the main thing.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. At this time, are we going to pass the basket around and take up the offering for Allie, or just drop in the missions?
How y'all want to do it?
On the way out.
How y'all want to do it?
I guess at this time we're going to pass the basket around and take up the offering for Allie. And, you know, like I said this morning, just give as if you're giving it to the Lord, because you are. I mean, this is an important part of missions, is reaching out to those that are in need. Within and without the community, and you know, this family, they're in need right now. And so just, like I said, give like giving them to the Lord, because you are. Brother David, would you mind taking the basket around?
I think so.
Oh, Zachary, can you take the basket around?
Yeah.
And Brother Larry, would you mind to pray over the offering?
Yeah, and Father, we're going to go back, Lord. Just open our hearts, Lord, and guide us in directions that you have us go, Lord, in this situation, Lord. Just in everything that we do, Lord, we just look to you through the Holy Spirit, through His guidance, Lord, that we do the right way, the right thing, that we grow and develop it through this. Lord, we give you praise and honor in Jesus Christ's name, we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.